Welcome back to Weekly Winners. Today is Wednesday, September the 22nd, and coming off another just fun week of football.
Yeah,
week two.
Lots of good games.
We're not going to do a too deep of a dive on it, but I had a feeling it was going to be a good day when I went 3-0 on Saturday for college football, which is not something I usually do, but had a little extra money going into Sunday, which always feels good. But overall, I turned in 7-7 week one, you know, called it calibration week, which got to be happy with that for week one.
Right.
Week two, I kind of dubbed it, don't overreact week. Like, these teams aren't what we saw in week one. I went 8-8, won a little bit. A half unit week one, lost like a half unit week two, just kind of trend water, which is not really what you want to be doing. Like, it doesn't feel too bad because you're just floating around zero, but at the same time, like, in betting, 500 is losing usually.
Right.
I got lucky week one where I was still positive on my units, but hopefully I'm really looking to start at least getting a couple more in the win column than in the loss column for week three.
Yeah, and I feel like after week two, we even have more of an idea now. Mm-hmm. I think now we can really start some educated bets.
That's the hope, at least. we'll recap week two here. So we'll start kind of with the noon slate. Let's start Patriots-Jets here. I don't think a lot of people are expected or surprised by this, except for maybe that Zach Wilson looked so bad.
Right.
I mean, four interceptions. That was we kind of both said it from the beginning. We got nothing against the kid, but, like, that situation is not one for a young quarterback to succeed in.
And that's the thing. I think if he's in a better situation, he's still only an average quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But you throw an average quarterback in a terrible situation.
It's not Trevor Lawrence. It's the kid out of BYU, it was going to be a question mark from the beginning. It's the draft. Like, you're happy to kind of go 500, second contract players. So, like,
right.
And with so many quarterbacks this year, some of them were going to bust. I don't want to throw that word on them so early, but it's not looking good. But none of them are really looking good. You'd have to say Mac Jones is looking the best. I bet him in this game to throw over 300 passing yards. It was over 150 at halftime. What, he threw two balls in the second half?
Yeah.
They just don't ask him to do much, which there's something to be said for that, like throwing like 75% completion or something, because he's like just dropping it off down the field. But
right. Yeah, I would agree with that, though, that Jones has looked the best.
Right, but once the Bucs come to town, he's going to have to – that offense can't – you're not going to get away with that like you did against the Jets. Like, you're going to have to take this week – start getting him more acclimated into the offense, and because he's got to carry that offense in week four.
Yeah,
especially with the limited amount of threats on it, it's kind of going to be all on his play. So I was 0-1 on that game. We go to Jacksonville where the Broncos come to town, and I'll go hand up the Broncos. I knew that defense would be good, but, like, I just didn't think they'd be putting up, not that the offense is setting the world on fire, but Teddy's just doing enough every week.
That's kind of what Teddy does, though.
It is, but I just didn't really trust in that offense around him, but they beat the Jags by 10. I love the Jags +6 in this game, just as kind of a bounce back. They kind of just get taken care of by the Broncos. It looks bad. It's bad in Jacksonville. Not quite as bad as it is in New York for the Jets, but
yeah,
not great positions for picks 1 and 2 in this draft.
Kind of what you said, like not writing Zach Wilson off as a bust yet. And I'm not writing Urban Meyer off as a bust as a coach. But
it's bad out there.
But I'm just never a fan of the college coaches coming to the NFL. I think we've seen it enough where, like, what's Chip Kelly doing? I mean, obviously, Nick Saban's the go-to. Like, he went and coached the Dolphins, right?
Well, I think your go-to is Pete Carroll. That's your blueprint for the college guy working in the NFL.
Right, but I'm saying, like, guys that busted. Like, Chip Kelly. Like,
it's just not the same. We heard about it. With Urban and like training camp, like these guys are professionals. They're not going to respect you if you're like making them do suicides after practice.
Right.
And they just don't buy the corny stuff, which I love that corny stuff with like high school and college football, but not when, you know, these guys are pros, some of these guys in the league, you know, double digit years. It's just, you're not going to bring anything you haven't heard before. Just got to be professional. Then moving on, our biggest blowout of the day, Bills 35, Dolphins nothing.
So, yeah, we both had minus 3.5 on this one.
Yeah, that one felt like a pretty easy bet.
But that game played different than I thought it would have. Josh Allen didn't look good. Like, he didn't look spectacular.
He didn't look like he did last year.
But, like, right, he didn't look bad, but mm-hmm. he wasn't spectacular. That defense is what I was more so surprised by.
Right, they had a good bounce back. 0 points for the Dolphins. Like, I know Tua goes out when you put Brissett in there, but you have to think Jacoby Brissett's one of the most competent backups in the league.
Yeah.
And this was such a big spot for the Dolphins. I mentioned it last week on Sunday when we were previewing this game, that this is such a big opportunity for the Dolphins. You get past the Patriots week one. You get a surprise loss from the Bills. If you can beat the Bills at home, you take such a commanding lead on that division through week two. And to put up no points, got to be worried about this Dolphins offense.
Right.
And a defense that we thought was good. Obviously, it's hard. They can't get off the field, really, with the offense doing nothing. But 35 is not a point for them to allow, especially when Josh Allen wasn't in, like, MVP form, like, you know, during a couple of games last year. So a lot of question marks for them going forward.
Do we know how long Tua's out?
I think he's I don't think he's ruled out for week three yet.
Okay. So those ribs, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, he hasn't looked – he's got a bruise. Right. Like, he's not a guy I see him like holding out like 6 weeks as a precaution. Like, they've got to find out with Tua. Like, they were getting antsy in the preseason with Tua. So,
right. Weren't they trying to ship him off to Houston?
That was the rumor several times. So, and we go to Chicago. The Bengals coming to town. I shifted my bet for this one. The Bengals money line, the Bengals plus 25, just in case it's some late.
Two and a half, sorry.
To some late game heroics from Justin Fields. We did get Fields, but not how we anticipated. Dalton gets hurt. Field goes in, doesn't look great. Does enough, though, to have the Bears win by three. And I believe Nagy's already said Dalton start week three.
Yeah, this is one of the bets I was more confident in, my Bengals money line.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't anticipate Joe Burrow to throw three picks on three straight pass attempts.
He doesn't look good either.
I mean, I was not expecting that. I mean, just one of those drives, if you get points, it's a completely different game.
I mean, the other thing is, like, I like Joe Burrow, but he was an old rookie. Like, he's not 21.
Right.
Like, he's like the young quarterback, second year quarterback excuses don't really fly with him. Like, you're running a pro style offense at LSU with pro wide receivers, one of which is on your team. Like, that's kind of, it's weird to say for a guy who's not yet played a full season worth of NFL games, but that's just inexcusable for him at this point.
Yeah.
Especially when that Bengals team is looking better than people kind of expected.
Right. Week one, they kind of just came out and stole that one against the Vikings.
Right.
And little shock, but.
Then going to Texans-Browns, where the Browns prevail at home, winning by 10, but the Texans cover. They surprised them a little in the first half there.
You know, I was – so I obviously had the Texans covering at plus 13, and I did sprinkle a little money line. I was feeling good until Tyrod went down.
Right.
I was feeling very good about that bet. Sucks Tyrod now on the IR.
For a few weeks, yeah. 4 weeks, or it has to be three if he's on the IR, but yeah. I saw 3 to 4, I think.
But I was feeling really good about that. And then he goes down, you throw in a rookie quarterback who has taken practically zero snaps with the first team offense.
Threw a touchdown.
He did.
Threw him for 100-some yards and an interception as well, but I mean, the completion percentage wasn't good, but, I mean, it's better than you could have expected, I think. I bet the over in this game. Got a little scared when Tyrod went down for the same reasons. Also, was confused in the second quarter when Texans took a completely optional punt. Could have, they had the choice between a 3rd and 10 and a 4th and 2, and they chose the 4th and 2 near midfield, which I like that. Trust in the offense, go for the 4th and 2. But they punted rather than taking the 3rd and 10, which is maybe an all-time low amount of confidence to show you have in your offense, which that was just we were talking about this. The Texans have been frisky. Like, if it's not for dumb decisions like that, this new kind of regime of coaching looks pretty good through 2 weeks. But not if you pull stuff like this. But we'll get to the Texans a little bit later, as they're in our Thursday night game, and we'll preview that. Then we go to Raiders at Steelers. Raiders won by 9. Won my money on my second straight Steelers under, as I kind of figured in this game. It wasn't a great game for the Steelers, but I could see with my eyes the reasons they lost, and there's a lot of panicking going on with the Steelers right now, Steelers fans specifically. And I'm not quite there yet. Before the game, Devin Bush and Joe Hayden are announced to be out, which is a concern because it was very clear, and you can see this in the gameplay, that it was very much a part of the Steelers' defensive game plan to remove Darren Waller from the equation. And as hard as it is to remove a guy from like that from the offensive game plan, there's not a whole lot of guys better than Devin Bush that you would hope for to do it. Just that speed at the linebacker position is exactly what you need to shut down those premier tight ends. So when he's out, that's obviously a concern. But they move forward with the game plan there, which instead of having Devin Bush in there, your linebackers are now Spillane and Schobert, who I like both of them, but they don't have the pass coverage and mobility that Devin Bush has. So then they still stick with trying to remove Waller from the game, which they do pretty successfully. However, it takes Minka Fitzpatrick and another cornerback on pretty much every play to double him, to remove him from the game. And that showed because the middle of the field was wide open, and especially showed on that long Henry Ruggs touchdown because Minka was up on Waller. So there was no one to hang with him.
Right.
With Ruggs over the top.
And
not to mention, sorry to cut you off, but T.J. Watt was, as I was kind of said in the preview to this game, Alex Leatherwood had nothing for T.J. Watt, and that was abundantly obvious through the first quarter of that game. He was living in the backfield. He wasn't even thinking about sacking Derek Carr. He was back there so quick. He was back there trying to get the strip sacks, not just the sacks. And then he goes out with a groin injury. They're injured. Big Ben apparently suffered an injury. He's questionable for week three. Last year was obviously there were some injuries on the defense that were concerning, including Devin Bush. I don't think anything's been to the level that it's going to even guaranteed to be a couple weeks, but it's concerning to have four players out on your defense with groin injuries.
Right. Yeah, and I am very high on the Raiders this year, and I do think at the end of the season, Steelers fans won't look back and be like, that was a bad loss week two.
Right.
Like, I genuinely think this Raiders team is a 12-13 win team.
Mm-hmm.
I have season-long bets on them to win the Super Bowl and the division mm-hmm. and the over wins total. I mean, I do think this is a very good Raiders team, and I won't be shocked if they win the division. Yeah, obviously, it'll be tough.
It's a big week for them this week for those division odds.
Right.
With the rest of the games going down.
Right, but
I mean, who would have thought that division would stand as it currently does with Raiders, Broncos on top, and Chargers, Chiefs bringing up the rear.
Yeah, and I don't know. I really don't think it's that bad of a loss. I did nail the Raiders money line here. Lucked out with the injuries, if mm-hmm. you want to say it, but
Man, the Steelers look that defense looks so good in the first half. Like I was just loving watching. I love watching that like that Steelers defense just fly around, and then all of a sudden it was just T.J. Watt going out, and all of a sudden Derek Carr just had that extra beat or two in the pocket, and he just picked him apart with the middle of the field just being wide open. I mean, credit to him. I don't think he threw an incomplete pass in the second half. It was right. Crazy. Moving on to Indianapolis, where the Colts hold on to cover against the Rams. They lose by 3, but I bet the Rams minus 3.5. I very much was considering same. Making that my lock of the week because I don't
shoulda.
Shunta. I don't think, I still don't think these Colts, like I said, we covered this before, but it's not college. A win's a win. I don't really care about how much you win by. Maybe the Colts surprised me a little bit here, but I still think the Rams are very good, and I still don't really think the Colts are that good, despite them keeping it close.
Right. I do think it's funny, though. We both said that we think the Colts will make a lot of teams look really good this year, and then they just come out week two and kept it close.
They kept it close. I mean, I don't know how they kept it close. Like, it doesn't make sense. The final score doesn't really reflect some of the activities that went on during the game. Carson Wentz getting a shovel pass intercepted for 6, somehow was spraining both his ankles in this game. It doesn't feel like a team. The storylines coming out of this game doesn't feel like a team that kept it close with one of the preeminent favorites in the NFC. But that's exactly what happened there. So go to Saints-Panthers. This was kind of a statement game for the Panthers. They beat the Saints by 19. I bet the Saints first half over 10.5, which, I mean, they didn't get there all game. So lost that one. You were on the Saints.
I had the Saints to cover 3.5. I mean, wasn't really expecting 8 coaches to sit out with COVID protocol and their rookie quarterback in charge of substitutions.
Right. Definitely not time to hit the panic button for the Saints after this game, but the Panthers have kind of established themselves as a frisky team at the very least after this. And then another team we'll get to a little bit more later.
One thing I saw out of this game that just made me laugh out loud was, you know, because the rookie quarterback was in charge of substitutions. What if he just subs himself in?
It's my time. Sorry, Jameis.
Like, what do you think the repercussions are? What are the Saints really going to do? If, you know, once the Panthers kind of got up big and everyone knew they were going to win,
right.
He's just like,
Let me
just show what I got.
Let me get some film out there. that would have been pretty funny. Moving on to a game that I don't even think I saw a second of. Even I don't even think I saw the touchdowns that happened between, you know, plays or whatever, or at halftime. It's 49ers and Eagles. 49ers going to Philly, beat them by 6, kind of make the Eagles look like we thought they would, but also not looking that great themselves. Kind of taking care of business, but just weird. Like, week one, they put up a ton of points and but get a lot of surprising amount from the Lions, with as good as we expected their defense to be. And then week two, after proving that they can run the ball with the best of the teams in the league, don't really put up that many points, but the defense does look a lot better against Jalen Hurts and the Eagles.
To be fair, though, that there's not a single running back on the 49ers active roster that is 100% going to play.
No, it's wild.
Sermon is out with a concussion.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think both Hasty and Mitchell both went down with shoulder injuries. So, like, I'm curious if they're going to activate someone from the practice squad, go out and sign.
They almost just got to go trade for somebody, right? Like, there's enough guy. I feel like there's enough teams with, like, two running backs. Like, if they go and make this trade now, I doubt it would happen. Week three on, let's say what he's just becomes the premier back on the 49ers. How many yards does AJ Dillon run for behind that?
150 a game.
It doesn't take much. I feel like they just could go get a guy.
Right.
But that's kind of what we expected at the start of the year. You know, like I said, we're going over fantasy. I'm like, Baltimore and San Francisco, whoever the number one back in that system for a week is going to be, I want them on my team.
Right. And see, I was even fine getting Trey Sermon as my backup because they were running, they kind of said after preseason they were going to run 1A and 1B with Mostert and Sermon.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes out and breaks curfew.
Right.
And really doesn't even get a shot week two.
Crazy.
And when he does get a shot, he gets a concussion. So,
yeah, they had wild times.
Like, it's just crazy. Like, you know, think about the potential future loss Trey Sermon suffered because he broke.
Right.
Why would you put yourself in that position where it's tough. Like,
I mean, all things considered, I mean, 49ers are lucky this was their first two games of the season.
Right.
Like, with having, you know, not playing two of your offensive weapons week one and having your defense look surprisingly bad, getting shocked in the end of the fourth quarter there. Even a little bit better strength of schedule, and they could just as easily be 0-2 here. Like, they flip even team, like, in the division. Like, if they flip with the Seahawks and they have to play the Titans or they have to play the Colts and the Titans, they could be 1-2.
Right.
Going to Falcons at Bucks. We have the wrong score on there.
Yeah, 48-25.
I bet the over here that felt
pretty
good, but
yeah, I had two bets. I had the over and the Falcons cover, which was looking great until the fourth quarter.
Yeah, the Falcons are back to where we thought they would be, though. Like, not good. Definitely a bad team, but they're still going to put up points.
Right.
Yeah, Bucks. Yeah,
I mean, even at the start of the fourth quarter, the Bucks scored that touchdown right away because the Falcons pulled within 3, and then the Bucks, Tom Brady just, you know, marched down the field. Just,
yeah.
They went up 10, and I'm like, I'm still liking plus 12.5. Like, mm-hmm. The Falcons are moving the ball, scoring, and then that Bucks defense goes on and scores 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. I think it was 2. It was at least 1, but just tough way to lose
for sure. Yeah, no, that Bucks team's just clicking on all cylinders. But yeah, again, a bad team able to pick on their secondary a little bit at least. So, although still 3 picks, I believe. So,
right.
The pressure was getting to Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan is up there with Big Ben, the quarterbacks that I don't like watching anymore. It just doesn't look right. Yeah. The same thing with Breeze at the end of last year. It's just, it's time.
Right.
We go to kind of the thriller of the week. Vikings at Cardinals. The Vikings have another missed field goal to,
to lose again.
Cost them a game here. We both lost betting on the Cardinals. Minus some points. But they escape with the win here.
Yeah, and you know, I said that I didn't think that Cardinals defense was going to play every week like they did week one. That would have been impossible to sustain. But I also didn't think their defense was going to look as bad as they did.
I mean, this Vikings offense is very good. Like Dalvin Cook.
A lot of weapons, right?
Thielen, Jefferson. It's,
but like, I don't necessarily think this Vikings offense is necessarily better than like the Rams or the Seahawks, you know.
The weird thing is if just listed a running back and 2 wide receivers there, you know, very good trio, but week one they shut down Henry and Julio and AJ Brown.
So right.
You think you could pretty much run the same game plan out there, but apparently not.
Yeah, and I think what's different between the Cardinals this year versus the Cardinals last year, I think both teams will be very streaky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last year we saw them win a lot of games people didn't expect them to and lose a lot that they should have won.
Right.
I think this is one of those games last year that would have been a loss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was kind of, okay, we went out there and had a bad week, and now next week I think they'll just come out and be the Cardinals everyone expects. Yeah. Or expected after week one.
Mm. Going from the thriller of the week, maybe the worst game of the week. Chargers 20, Chargers 17, Cowboys 20. Million flags in this game. Bad calls. The one at the end of the game where they would have kicked a field goal to send it to overtime. Herbert throws it away. He literally has both his feet on the ground still and is stiff-arming a defender, just keep backpedaling, throws it away, and they're like, nah, he's down. Well, he's still very much kind of backpedaling and making a throw. I didn't understand it for a second. At first, I saw him, like, walking the ball back. I'm like, there's no way they called intentional grounding on that. But, like, I don't know what else they would have done. I'm like, no, he's down. I'm like, almost positive he wasn't down. But yeah, no, Cowboys escape with it. Obviously, both teams need to shore up the penalties, but I don't think neither team looked necessarily good. I guess if you're a Cowboys fan, you could be a little encouraged by the defense, but I still think the Chargers are very good. I think this is not going to be very indicative of the rest of their season.
Right.
I bet on the Chargers, so I lost on that one.
I had the Cowboys covering. I think I kind of said they're the team that might lose a lot of close ones.
Mm-hmm.
This week they won a close one,
yeah,
and that's why I chose them to cover.
Right.
Just kind of expected a 3-point game.
Could have gone OT and the Chargers could have won by 3 and you would have still
right.
won 5. Then we go to Titans at Seahawks. I bet the Titans +6.5, sprinkled that +230 money line, and they get right late against the Seahawks, who Seahawks still look very good. They're better than I expected them to be this year. The defense, which people kind of got excited for week one, wasn't quite what it was week two, but
Derrick Henry, talk about a bounce back week.
Sometimes you talk about a bounce back half. He didn't do anything even in the first half. Sometimes there's nothing you can do against a guy like that. As a Derrick Henry fantasy owner, I love seeing him catch 5 passes out of the backfield.
Right.
That's new. And just 3 touchdowns in the second half. Just dominant performance from him and that Titans offense. If they can do that, if that's the, in the game plan, every week, that Titans team can win that division without too much trouble, I think. Let me go to that primetime Sunday night game, Chiefs at Ravens, just points on top of points. I bet the Chiefs -4. The Ravens just kind of, Lamar puts them on the back and brings them home, beating the Chiefs by one. And, you know, just an absolute thriller of a primetime game.
Yeah, I also had Chiefs -4, and then I also had the over in this game. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I burned my lock on that Thursday night game. I should have saved it for Sunday. This one just seemed like easy money.
Right.
Ravens defense looked atrocious week one. And then the Chiefs just never have a great defense. I mean,
It's also hard to, even if they do have a good defense, like Mahomes is just always a threat to score in like a minute drive.
Right.
So that's always going to hamper a defense just endurance wise. And then Monday, game we were in attendance for, I had the over in this game, kind of on principle, just bet the over on games I go to. So that hit for me, Packers beating the Lions, really stepping it up in the second half. Anyone just looking at the box score would kind of say that, Rodgers just got right. The team's just back where they should be, but wouldn't be quite. Not quite what it seems. Just glancing at the score and the box score, that might be the lightest four touchdown passing game you've ever seen from a quarterback. Just a little shovel pass, a little swing pass, another little like swing out route from Aaron Jones, who scored four touchdowns himself. A very nice ball to Robert Tonyan for a touchdown, but not your traditional four touchdown game from a quarterback.
Yeah, I really wasn't loving the game in the first half, down 17-14, going in the half. I mean, defense made very good adjustments. Lions really didn't get anything going in that second half. They had one drive.
That first half was bad.
Right.
That defense, it is the Lions. They did look fine again in the second half. I think that was maybe offense is just a good defense. Like the Packers are just piling it on. I still have major questions about this Packers defense.
Yeah.
I don't really think it's that good. I mean, in the first half, they would just line up in the same zone defense every play. And the Lions pretty much had their choice of, well, either we can hand the ball off and get about 4 yards, or we can run some guy to a 10 to 15 yard corner route, and he's just going to be open because you're running the same zone every time, and your corners just aren't sticking with or aren't big enough to stick on Hockenson. Like,
right.
It was just, and all around the world, like, Goff made some very nice passes, and he did identify that zone and pick it apart, but like, he's an NFL quarterback. Like, you have to expect that. You can't just get away with that.
Right.
And they made the slight adjustment in the second half that ended up working. But once it's a team that isn't the Lions, I think this defense, I mean, they got exposed against the Saints. I think that could unfortunately be a trend going forward for them.
I think they really lucked out getting this Lions week two at home.
Yeah, good game.
Right. I mean, you know, you think if this game is – even like the Vikings in Minnesota, or even in Green Bay for that matter, like you could be looking at a completely different scenario.
35 might not have been enough to beat the Vikings.
Right. Not with Green Bay's defense in the state it's in.
And you weren't going to score 35 if it was the Bears.
Right.
So,
you know, this Lions draw was really lucky. Mm-hmm. Week one or week two draw.
Mm-hmm. But I will say, this Lions team, They'll win four or five games. I don't know where they're going to pick those up, but they don't look that bad. And that's going to kind of lead me into a question I have for you. Who's your best 0-2 team?
Give me 1 second. Okay, so we have Jets, Colts, and Jags in the AFC. The Giants, Vikings, Lions, and Falcons. I got to go Vikings.
I like the Vikings, too. The offense is just – the defense is obviously – they've been scored on a lot, but there's pieces in that defense where you can see the world where they come together to kind of hit their stride at some point.
Right.
These other teams – their problems, there's not as much of a lane to fix for them.
Yeah. And I mean, with that NFC West, though, there's a chance the Vikings don't even make the playoffs, too.
There's not starting 0-2.
Right. That's the thing. And there's a chance they already set themselves in a big enough hole. Mm-hmm. I think the best 0-2 team with a chance at winning their division is the Giants, just because the NFC East. Right. I mean, I would probably put the Giants at the highest percent chance to make playoffs out of 0-2 teams. But I do think if we're just talking, you know, best heads up, playing a game of football, I'm riding with the Vikings there as the –
I guess then I'll ask, who's the worst 2-0 team? Obviously, the Raiders. You like the Raiders, but them winning two games, people would say they weren't supposed to.
I would say, I mean, I guess the Broncos had an easier two games.
The Broncos are 2-0, yep.
For me, it'd be between, I think, the Panthers. Is between the Panthers and Broncos for me, but I think if they played a game right now, I think the Broncos would probably win against the Panthers. So I'm putting Panthers.
I might throw the 49ers out there. They just haven't looked very good against
very valid
good teams. I think they're very primed to get, especially like we said, in that division. Like, does their performance in week one or week two win them a game against the Cardinals, the Seahawks, or the Rams?
2 out of 10 times, 3 out of 10. You know, like,
I think they, like we said, very lucky starting this with this schedule. I think they could just, you know, just as easily go on a little bit of a slide here to be 2-4 in a few weeks.
Right.
And kind of closing out our recap, my mortal lock hits, my free money parlay, and free money it was. The four-leg Browns money line, Patriots money line, Buccaneers money line, Packers money line for +113. Feels good to go take that lead, get 1-1 in the mortal lock contest. Probably the biggest scare for that was when the Browns were down to the Texans. I would have loved to lose this parlay if the Browns lost the Texans.
Right.
I wouldn't have been mad for a second. So,
yeah, and I did have one other bet as well. It was, what did I call it? If everything goes right, it would be Kyler over 3.5 pass touchdowns, Herbert over 2.5 pass, Matt Ryan over 2.5 pass, which I wasn't hating until the fourth quarter of those games, because Kyler had three going in. He had three halfway through the third quarter,
right.
And that game was close enough. Herbert, I wasn't even hating it at halftime because the Chargers were moving the ball.
Mm-hmm.
They just kept killing themselves with penalties and just weren't converting in the red zone. They had like three or four red zone trips in that first half, and they just didn't convert. And then Matt Ryan, I liked that they were down. That definitely helped his pass touchdowns.
Yeah, but I mean, he got back to, 44, 45 attempts in that game. They're back to what the Falcons do. Surprisingly, Cordell Patterson's their RB1 pretty
Yeah.
Definitively. Mike Davis kind of getting being the odd man out there.
Right.
Scored two touchdowns, which I don't think a lot of people anticipated from him going into the season or this week.
Not at all.
And then I guess our final thing for the recap. Who is your winner of the week?
I think my winner of the week probably has to go to Lamar. Caught a lot of flack after week one,
right,
dropping that game to the Raiders. Came back and kind of made a statement against the Chiefs.
Yeah, for sure.
I think if they meet in the playoffs, that game's going the other way. But
even if it's in Arrowhead, that's going the other way.
But. Right. But yeah, I think Lamar kind of knew he had to go out there and prove a point, and that's what he did.
I got to go with a guy I think you would have to say is at least top two, and I kind of hate when people do this, but who's your MVP through 2 weeks? If you are going to do that conversation, I think this guy has to be either one or two, and that's Derek Carr. Gotta give him props. Won two games that he, I think both the money lines in those games were plus 200 or above.
Yeah. Just
two games that are.
No, they were 170 against the Ravens, but that was post-injuries.
Right.
Not like, sure what it was before.
Just the. Even though it was against my Steelers, the gambler and just putting up numbers against, you know. Good defense. Like, I just have to respect it. He's, you know, sometimes that's what they always talk about. It's year eight that the quarterbacks really found their stride, right?
Hey, I mean, he's trying to sell himself to Devontae.
Yeah.
Trying to get Devontae Adams in town.
Yeah. I don't see why I wouldn't right now. But, especially comparing week one. Performances. Derek Carr slinging it out, or even week two, slinging all over the field while Rodgers has to just flip it to Aaron Jones.
Right.
Throw touchdowns.
Like right now, you know, LaFleur would be getting the pop up in Madden that he's got a frustrated player, and Devontae would be, he'd be frustrated right now.
Yeah, so those, we got Derek Carr and Lamar Jackson. Those are our winners of the week. Let's get into our Thursday game. Oh boy, do we got a stinger.
This one,
Texans Panthers.
I scoured for maybe 25 minutes trying to find bets on this game. Mm-hmm. I just didn't like anything.
Yeah.
I was able to walk away with 4.
Okay.
Yes, I can fire those off. So we're going to start with over 43. Don't know why I went over. This one really feels like an under. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, I just think it's going to be a sloppy game. I think Darnold will have his one or two picks, mm-hmm. you know, where the Texans are getting the ball at the Panthers' 40-yard line. Or, you know, like, mm-hmm. I think this will be a game with a lot of great drives starting in. Great field position.
Uh-huh.
So that's kind of why I hammered the over there. Kind of like Robbie Anderson, one or more touchdowns and a win at plus 202.
Okay.
Kind of seemed value. And then I think probably the best bet on this game is because one of these two teams will do it. Because I think both teams will move the ball. But I'm not confident in either of their abilities to consistently score touchdowns. Mm-hmm. So I'm taking over 2.5 3-point field goals. They word it like that. I'm guessing it's covered extra points, but over 2.5 3-point field goals for the Panthers at plus 170 and over 2.5 3-point field goals for the Texans at plus 340. I think one of the two teams will do it.
I wonder why is it such a discrepancy there.
I don't know.
Are the Texans that more unlikely to not get the ball into like field goal range?
I'm guessing. See, I think it's actually a higher chance for the Texans.
Right. I don't see what. I mean, that's a tough one to make, I'm sure. But
all right. I just think one of the two teams will do it. And if one of them does, you make money on that.
Right.
So.
That's what you're hoping for. And they're certainly not mutually exclusive. Both could.
All right.
I am going with here. I have the over 43 as well, which while I am pretty much 500 on the season, this is one you can ride with me. I'm 7-0 in my over under bets. These are the ones I know. I've been golden on betting my over unders. So I got the over 43. The Texans they're not a zero in these equations. They contribute to these overs. They did it against the Browns, and they beat the Jaguars and put up a ton of points doing it.
Right.
And, you know, the Panthers, the surprise 2-0, people being like, watching them kind of, okay, this is a frisky Panthers team. They're pretty good. Like, they might have a wild card bid here. So there's people on the Panthers for this game. You can look at them, they're clearly better than the Texans. And so Texans +8 makes me extremely uncomfortable, and that's why I love it. I like the Texans +8 in this game. They only lost to the Chiefs by 10 here. They only lost to the Browns by 10.
Chiefs would maybe be a little more than 10.
I just like the Texans +8 here. That's too much. They're at home. They're 1-1. They're without Tyrod, it's just a big question mark. But I don't think this line's at 8 if Tyrod's at. It's probably closer to 5.5 or 6.
Yeah.
I'm just a Davis Mills believer. I don't know what else to tell you.
It's going to be the best QB to come out of this class.
Mills Mafia. And then this is my best bet for the game is Christian McCaffrey over 89.5 rush yards. It's -109. Got to think, oh, well, he might have 150 all-purpose yards, but that might be 75 and 75. He catches so many passes. Don't let his incredible pass-catching ability distract from how good of a running back he is, plain and simple. The reason I love this one so much is the Browns gave Chubb 11 carries against the Texans last week. He ran for 95 yards on those 11 carries. Christian McCaffrey is going to get more than 11 carries, and he is at least on par running the ball wise with Nick Chubb. So I like him getting over, getting at least 90 rush yards here for -109. That's my best bet for this game. I really like that line. Granted, I see why it's there. It's tough to place a line at over 100 for a guy to get there, but the Panthers aren't a team with these split committees. Right. McCaffrey is getting these touches, and especially even if I'm wrong and the Texans don't keep it close and the Panthers go up, although they'll be running the even more with them.
Yeah.
If they're going up more than a score here. So that's kind of what I like for this game. I'm hoping I kind of have a better Thursday than we did last Thursday. Didn't do so well in that.
Not bets wise.
No.
Football was good.
Football was good. For the sake of our nation, we'll have to hope that it's better that these, you know, underwhelming on paper Thursday night matchups keep producing better than you would anticipate. I see you looking it up. Are we getting better next week?
Jags and Bengals.
Is that better?
Personally, I would rather, if Tyrod was playing, it'd be a no doubter. I'd rather watch this game.
That's not good either.
But I don't think it's better. I would love to see the Panthers go 3-0 here.
It could be better if you at least see some shine this week out of Lawrence and Burrow. But how they're currently competing, I don't want next Thursday to be the which of these, you know, high pedigree quarterbacks can look competent in the NFL. That's no fun.
See, I prefer this game over that Bengals-Jags game just because I want to see my boy Darnold.
Right.
I would love to see him go to 3-0.
McCaffrey's still the most exciting player on four of those teams.
Right.
Maybe Lawrence is the one with the most intrigue, but
yeah,
he gives you the most potential to see something great. Yeah, but that's our recap and our Thursday night preview. We're in the swing of it now. It's NFL season, 2 weeks through. Just right in the heart of it. It feels so good to have football back. I did see, congratulations, the Brewers clinched the playoffs. I'll mention it again in October when we're in the playoffs here. I'm not even thinking about it, right? Outside of the billboard I see when I'm driving home from work for congratulating them on making the playoffs. But we'll see you guys on Sunday for our full bets for the week.